Welcome to the Good Living Show. Today we have turned the tables in November. It is National Home Care Month, and what better way to celebrate National Home Care Month than talk about home care? So Lori and I are here. Lori is our wonderful representative here in Greenwich and Stamford, and she goes out and talks to lots of people about home care for Osborne Home Care, and she does a lot of other great things that we're going to kind of get into with Stamford Hospital and Dementia Friends and all of the things that go around. Well, welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Michelle.
It's almost different because Lori's kind of always in the room with us, taking pictures and doing some social media and helping us out, but she's not usually on air, so this is a good treat, isn't
it?
Yeah,
well, we'll see.
We'll see. But, you know, kind of getting into what we do, and this is kind of an annual thing, right?
Yeah, we do it every November.
We've done this every November, celebrating National Home Care and Hospice Month, letting folks know what we think, you know, home care is, because there's a lot of misconceptions out there.
There is.
A lot of people think that if they're going to get home care, somebody's going to be in their house all the time. Somebody's going to, they're, you know, very infirmed, if you will.
And that, take over their lives.
Yeah. So we're kind of going to dispel some myths today.
Sounds good.
All right. Okay. So Lori, talk to me about kind of, you've been in this business a while. I've been in this business a while. What things have you learned kind of most about what you think about home care?
Well, the biggest you just said, the misconception people have, and really most home care, I would say, is most people do really well with maybe 4 hours twice a week, sometimes three times a week, someone to help them with laundry, grocery shopping, maybe do a few chores around the house, get them out to a hairdresser, and the rest of the week, they're fine.
I think that is probably the biggest misconception, because when people think about home care and they think about somebody in their home, they're like, oh, they're here 24 hours a day, it's going to be intrusive. But sometimes, I mean, very few people actually have or need 24-hour care.
Very few.
Sometimes people just need, you know, I always, you know, kind of jokingly use the expression, you know, clean the spice drawer out or something. But somebody to come in once in a while, help out, kind of get things in order.
I call it the residential assistant.
Yeah, there we go.
You know,
that's a good term.
Isn't it? And
we can all use one. I can use one.
Yes. And really they do. And they actually end up liking the person that comes in because it's a little bit of socialization.
Yeah.
Someone's just to say hi, and they actually become, I don't want to use the word dependent, but look forward to them coming.
Right.
And for something they once didn't like, they look forward to each week. Oh, so-and-so's coming this day, you know, and someone to have a cup of coffee with. Right. Or
now, we kind of are taking a little light approach to it, and there are all kinds and everything. There is that person that has a hip replacement and just needs somebody to help them out for maybe a few days, a week.
Yes.
And then they're done.
We do quite a bit, like home care for recovery, we'll say.
Home care for recovery.
People that are post-cardiac or, you know, could be for many things, or just have a chronic illness, somebody that may have lupus or something like that, that have rough times in their life that just need a little support for a couple weeks.
Right.
And then when they're feeling back better and back on their feet, we go away, but we're there when they need us.
And then we do take care of somebody that needs somebody more regularly, whether it be every day or 24 hours a day. And I think what, you know, we have offices both in Connecticut and in New York, and the regulations are a little different in each state, but we do follow a medical model by having a nurse go out, do an assessment, make sure that people are, you know, medically have everything they need, and then go from there. So you always have that backup. Even if you're only there for a week, you know, you've got the backup. But our more chronically ill folks that might need people more often certainly have that backup of a nurse.
Yes. And educating them the difference of companies. There, you know, there's many a home care companies in Connecticut. I can't even imagine, probably
I'll
in the
tell
thousands.
You how many.
Oh, do you know?
I do know, because I had to do this for a board meeting, and it doesn't sound like a big number, but companies that service Connecticut, not just Connecticut, but service Greenwich and Stamford, 165 within a 5 mile radius of this radio station.
That's a lot.
It's a lot of people to kind of weed through and figure out what you need.
Right. And, you know, to know there's a difference in every company, you know, how it's run, what they do, how they train their caregivers, what continuing education they give them. There's a lot of questions you can ask.
Definitely. And I think that, you know, those are questions that as a daughter, you know, as somebody, adult child, I do think about those kind of things. Like, my parents don't live where I have the agency or where we run the agency, but certainly, you know, in Florida, what questions do we ask? So maybe that's a good topic to get into. What kind of questions you ask when you're interviewing a home care company? And you really should treat it like an interview.
It is. You know, you're putting people into, it's almost like if you were putting your child into daycare, you're mm-hmm. putting people into your parents' home that may be a more vulnerable demographic right mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that they're background checked, that they're, you know, they've been made sure they're as safe as possible to come in your house, drug testing, all the different things that go along, that the company you're hiring is a licensed companion agency. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between companion agencies and registries.
Mm-hmm. And private.
And
you know,
private.
If there's somebody on Craigslist or on, you know, a website that is really just a matchmaking site, that's this whole new world that yep. we're living in, whether it be, you know, I'm not going to mention any websites, but we all know what they are. They truly are just matchmaking sites.
Correct.
For people, caregivers, and people who need caregivers. So what happens with those? Are they background screened? Do they have a nurse that comes out? Do they have somebody to call? That would be, you know, if there's a snowstorm, are you guaranteed that somebody's going to get to your house when you need them?
If they're sick, all the questions. If there's going to be a backup person for them, are they covered by workman's comp and liability insurance? Because they are doing sometime heavy care with a patient or a client, and they can mm-hmm. fall, or something can happen, or clients have been known to give you a pop once in a while. I mean, they have different stages of cognitive abilities.
Sure.
And if they get hurt, is, you know, with an agency, you have the backup of their insurances and caring for their own employees. When you're hiring a private caregiver, you're taking on that liability yourself.
Sure. Even slip and fall
yes.
in somebody's property or something like that with a licensed, bonded, you know, insured agency, you've got that through their workman's comp and not, instead of your homeowners. But yep, those are all really good questions. But let's get into our area.
Okay.
So the Greenwich, Stamford, and I'll talk about Westchester, since you're the
okay.
Stamford Greenwich extraordinaire, and I can talk to the Westchester. But now the Westchester is a little bit different than this 5 mile radius. We talked about competitors. Westchester County has 365 licensed home care agencies. And I said the regulations were a little bit different. And they do a gamut of 1,000 things from Medicaid, Medicare, personal care, things like that. So anyway, talking about competitors, there is a lot out there. So doing homework and looking up some questions, and we should go over some specific questions too. But let's talk about Greenwich Stamford.
Okay.
And some of the things that you do, because I think it's really interesting, the programs that are out there. And kind of Lori is that person for us that gets involved in the community and finds these programs that help not only our clients, but help the community at large. So let's first talk about Dementia Friends.
Dementia Friends.
Let's
so
talk about that.
I'm actually a dementia friend and champion. So I won't say certified. I've took a course.
Right. You're the trainer.
I'm trainer.
Yes.
So I am now a trainer, and I can train the new trainers. We go around and we go to whatever it may be, kids clubs, stores, any company. And what we do is we do a 1 hour training, and it's just bringing awareness of dementia, how to be friendly in your business to people that may have dementia. So if you have a store, we'll say, and someone comes in and maybe puts something in their pocket or, you know, acts a little different, you can recognize that maybe this person has dementia and they're not stealing. They just think they paid for it, or they don't know they're supposed to pay for it. And it's learning to just be acceptable of these behaviors and awareness and how to deal with it.
Right, right.
And it's a really fun thing. I think in the town of Greenwich, the last number was over 360-something people we've trained so far, and we're looking to do that even farther. And then when you become a friend, dementia friend, you can do another training, which is a few more hours. It's not very much. And you can become what's called a dementia champion. And then those people go out and train more people. So it's a movement,
right?
We'll say.
It really is. And it's, I know that the Commission on Aging and mm-hmm. everybody is very involved, and it really is. And it's, we don't have that in Westchester County. This is a Connecticut thing, which is really
right.
amazing. We went to a conference and they talked about the dementia friends, and we actually had for people
who
gave the presentation who have been diagnosed with some form of dementia. And it was impactful to hear them and how, in how they feel the disease has changed them and how they want people to see them, which was really enlightening to me and an eye-opening experience.
And that's what the whole movement's about. It's just about bringing awareness. I mean, the new number out this year from Alzheimer's is every 65 seconds someone is diagnosed with Alzheimer's or some form of dementia.
Yeah.
So, and the number's only going up.
Yep.
So
that's a scary number.
Yes.
Well, so we've got that. And then that goes a little bit further into kind of what you do with Stanford's
Hospital Health Center. Mm-hmm. Has instilled a new program 2 years ago. It's called the Dementia Program, where in relation with the Alzheimer's Association, came in and trained us to be volunteers throughout the hospital. And what they do is they identify patients that either have Alzheimer's or some sort of dementia or having delirium from being in the hospital. And we are asked to come and visit them. And it's just to orient them. Make their stay at the hospital more pleasurable. Someone that understands the special needs of someone that has those mm-hmm. issues. Mm-hmm. And we just found out that we won the Plaintree Innovation World Award for this
nice.
Program, and they are being awarded next week in Disneyland, I believe, at their Plaintree Conference for this, which was a big coup for a program this young.
And they're bringing all the volunteers to Disneyland?
Well, no. I am on video, but okay. I'm not. I was interviewed on video, but a lot of the volunteer department from Stanford is going to this conference to accept the award, and it's a big thing, and they're learning, they want to grow this program because they're finding it does have benefit with how people heal in the hospital, how quickly they can get back on their feet and get back home where they want to be.
And, you know, it's amazing when we talk about what hospitals do, and even though it's kind of a dementia-style program, what you mentioned with delirium and people coming out of
can be anybody.
A surgery and just kind of like, where am I? And this is, you know, not where I want to be. What a great thing to have people to come in that don't work for the hospital, that don't have any vested interest
nope.
in, you know, readmissions or anything else, to come in and talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, here's kind of what you can expect next. Here's what's going to happen. And I'm here to talk if you want to talk about anything.
Yeah, we've gone from seeing maybe one or two people once a month to having 8 to 10 patients a day now that we're seeing.
Wow.
And right now we're struggling to get some new volunteers. So anyone interested, please
yes.
call Stanford Hospital Volunteer Department, because we have about 5 volunteers right now that are covering all those patients, and
wow.
we're keeping busy. So they are trying to build that. It's a new thing, and some people are a little nervous about going in, but don't worry. The training is amazing, and it's really just sitting down and holding someone's hand and just listening, letting
all
them
right.
have a voice.
All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break. You've got Lori Pincero, Michelle Thomas with Osborne Home Care talking about home care on National Home Care Month, and we'll be right back with the Good Living Show right after this.
When my husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, his doctor told us that he would soon need care and attention. They also told me it's important that I have support and not be Colin's only caretaker. We found a wonderful solution here in Fairfield County for both of us with Osborne Home Care. Their in-home personal care staff is specially trained to care for people with all forms of memory loss. And Hope, the registered nurse case manager from Osborne Home Care, is so good at anticipating his needs. She is also ready to help if his care plan needs to be adjusted. It's exactly what we both need to manage Colin's condition.
Osborne Home Care is an affiliate of the Osborne, the area's premier senior living community. Visit osbornhomecare.org or call 888-9-OSBORNE for more information. Osborne Home Care, Connecticut, license number 000933.
All right. Welcome back to the Good Living Show. You've got Michelle Thomas and you've got Lori Pincero today, both with Osborne Home Care. We're talking about home care in general and some other things that we want to talk about because we're here. And, National Home Care Month. That's National Home Care and Hospice Month, the whole month of November to celebrate home care and hospice. And we had, you know, we always get these wonderful, enlightening questions from Bob during the break, who ask us, like, what about this? And it does bring up something that happens in our world a lot. And we kind of, you know, refer to it as the daughter's promise sometimes.
Yep.
When you promise mom or dad that you won't, you know, you'll keep them at home.
No matter what.
No matter what. We won't put you in a nursing home or an assisted living or, you know, anything like that. And because we kind of live in both worlds with the Osborne and Osborne Home Care, we see both sides. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that promise and what happens and when is it, when do you stay home and when do you go? And I think a lot of it boils down to kind of how much you're willing to adapt, how much you're willing to
accept help
to stay at home or to keep somebody at home, because we talk about the sandwich generation and adult children taking care of, you know, families and parents that are aging. And it does get to that point sometimes where it's not feasible or expenses are too high to keep somebody at home.
Correct.
So with home care, you've got certainly a slew of resources that you can use in home care to keep somebody home for the rest of their life. There is certainly no question that things can be adapted and things can be done to keep somebody at home for the rest of their life. There are things involved with that, whether they move in with a daughter or son, or the home is adapted to take care of somebody.
Right.
But there also then runs into expense.
Which either way is quite an undertaking.
It is something that you've got to sit down and plan with, you know, your siblings.
Never too early.
Yeah. Never too early to plan.
Yes.
And talk about this promise that you might make.
Right.
And not be able to fulfill. And then what do you do? So keeping somebody at home, like we say, there are lots of avenues. So we've got private pay, 100% private pay. You're going to pay for all the care that goes into your home. And the range runs between $26, $27 to $30 an hour.
I would say, yes.
For home care. Traditional home health aid, home care coming into your
house. Non-medical home care.
Yeah, non-medical. And then you can get into medical home care.
Right.
When an actual nurse comes to your house and works a shift to administer medication, to give an IV,
wound care,
those type of things. Sometimes that's covered under Medicare, but certainly not anything extended.
No.
Right. And then you've got all the ancillaries that go with it, whether it be medical equipment, hospital beds, Hoyer lifts.
Yeah, reopening doorways to adapt to all these new things.
Rehab, physical therapy. What do we have
adult
the other day?
Adult day program, too.
Music therapy
we've had, yeah. And pet therapy. There's all kinds of things that are brought in now to keep people socially engaged.
You certainly can do it. But when do you make the choice that, hey, it might not be the safest thing anymore? And I think that's where our nurses and social workers can come in and say, hey, let's talk about this. Now mom requires somebody to lift her out of bed, and we might need a device to do that. And now you're talking, you need two people.
We need to do a Hoyer lift.
To safely get somebody in and out of bed.
Which now doubles your expenses.
Doubles the cost and the, you know, intrusiveness of somebody being in the house, because now you've got two people there. So at that point, you know, a lot of people stay at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's still always an option. We always look at it from a safety standpoint. Mm-hmm. And also something people forget about is a social engagement point, too, mm-hmm. because, mm-hmm. yes, we can keep them home. Yes, we can keep them safe. But if they were very social people mm-hmm. and loved being social and still wanted to be social, even though you have caregivers in there and caregivers can socialize, it's not the same. Sometimes people do thrive better mm-hmm. in a community. Only for that reason that there's something different every day. So
absolutely.
It is a person to person. There's no cookie cutter answer.
Is. So that's where you really do talk to your nurse, your social workers. You know, oftentimes things start, people have an introduction to a nursing facility or a skilled facility rehab during an acute condition. They've, you know, broke a hip, need a knee replacement. They go into a community based on that, and then they go out, have some home care, and then they're fine. Yeah. And then there are people that progressively decline and mm-hmm. need more help. And I think that's where it takes a village, if you will. It
right.
takes a lot of people to kind of help figure that out. We've got many clients who are in that state 24 hours a day. They have decided this is what they're going to do. They're going to stay home. Family's very, very well aware. If it got to the situation where they weren't safe anymore, then that's when we would look. And I think that's our biggest thing. Social isolation.
And safety. Being the biggest.
And social isolation at this point, I think, is almost a national epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're getting off the subject, but I think it's an important one because people that are aging are so used to having a phone, having a computer, being able to not socialize as much as the generation before them, that we're going to have that problem a little more. And I think it's something that will probably be our next big thing is social isolation.
Right. The biggest thing I tell families when I do a lot of panel discussions and stuff, that's my biggest thing is I always say, don't make them make the promise. I say, if you can do anything for your children, just ask them to promise you that they will always have your best interest at heart.
Yep.
And that's and because you never know what life's going to bring down the road.
Right.
And you don't know what circumstances, never mind your health is, what their health might be or what their circumstances with family and children might be, where they're going to take on a huge burden that you might never have thought they would have had to face.
Right. Right. For sure. And I think that families go through it. We see it all the time, every day, where families are making decisions and what's best for themselves, their spouses, their,
right.
you know,
nobody
their
makes
loved
it easily.
Ones.
It's not an easy decision.
Not an easy decision. But, you know, I think one thing I did want to talk about too, I think knowing everything that's out there and getting a taste of it early. So let's talk about payment models. So we talked mm-hmm. about private pay. We talked about a little bit of Medicare, but people who have long-term care insurance policies, what an important thing to get that policy out and look at it, because a lot of policies have what they call as elimination days.
Yes. Most
right?
are usually about 100
days. About 100 days. So that's saying they're not going to pay for anything for 100 days. So it's best to get those 4 hours.
Start the claim when it's those 4 hours.
Right. Start the claim.
24 hour.
When you need a little less care, then when you really need more care, that your policy is in place, it is paying, and you're getting that care taken care of. And we can certainly help with that at Osborne Home Care. You just call us, help. We'll get your policy. We will work with you on the policy, call the company with you, and find out what those days are. And you can go on our website and get our phone number, www.osbornhomecare.org, or you can call us at our number, which is
203-641-7683.
Yes.
You're in Connecticut.
So we can help with that. That is another one of the most misunderstood.
People not using it, too. They think mm-hmm. they're saving it. So I'm going to save it for when I need it. Well, if you're calling me, you need it. And yeah. and remember, most policies are use it or lose it.
Right.
And most aren't, you know, start the claim.
And most policies aren't like one pot for everything. They might have a pot for home care, another separate money situation for skilled nursing
and long-term care or whatever,
assisted living or whatever you need. So don't think that I'm going to wait until I'm really sick to use it, because you're going to have 100 days that you may be really, really sick and have to pay for that. So we always tell people the minute we talk to them, look at your policies, make sure. We have about 225 clients. Out of those 225 clients, about 50 of them have long-term care insurance. So it is something people are using to pay for their care.
Yes. It's something to look at. In no means is it a cheap thing to get.
No.
But
and hard to
neither
get
is home care, and neither is long-term care, and neither is nursing homes. You know, but educating yourself, protecting yourself, and planning for the future is the best thing you could do.
I think that is the number one $1 million sentence right there, kind of planning out future and what it is.
It's
talk to your family members.
Paying for the things you don't want to pay for. But
right.
I tell people when they say, well, I might never use it. I said, well, we have car insurance and some people never use it, but you have to have it.
Right,
you know,
right.
If that one time you do use it, it becomes very handy. So,
yeah, I think people often think that, you know, two Medicare is going to help and cover it. As far as your real personal care, your having somebody come in and help you with those most intimate things,
meals and bathing and grocery shopping and sheet changing or just whatever.
Medicare doesn't cover that.
No, they cover your 3 hours a day or whatever, maybe 4 hours to get you in the shower, get you out, maybe do some wound care or some medication stuff. And that's about it. The rest is on you and the family.
Therapy.
Therapy, OT and PT, It's a misconception. Even doctors make a mistake and say that quite often. Oh, Medicare, because they just don't know.
Right.
They know what they know, and the next
it changes all the time. And Medicare just had another big change with payment systems. So, you know, when we finally figured out this one, they changed it. And that's the way it goes, I guess, with Medicare.
That's another thing we can help with. If we can't help you or there's not something we know, we pretty much know the resources to reach out for you and get you the information or connect you to the people that can help you go the next step.
There are cases. There are people that call that it's just not the right, you know, either financially or distance or where they're at. It's just not the right. We're not the right fit for them. And I think that's part of our job is to find, you know, to give them the resources
next step.
That are.
And we will find you someone else that can help you. I always tell people, call me. We'll see what we can do. We'll get you off to the next place if we have to.
Absolutely. So what else can we do for, you know, we're not talking much about hospice, and it is National Hospice Month, but we have had hospice folks in, and we just had Dr. Coletti not too long ago.
Who did palliative and hospice and stuff, right? And we work closely with hospice companies. So if you have home care, it doesn't mean you can't have hospice too.
Right.
Hospice can overlayer and provide you with the end of life and things that you might need at that time while we support the other part. We work really well with other hospice companies. We have a client right now that's going to be starting hospice with us. So we have great relationships and we made a nice smooth transition and the family really didn't have to do too much. I made the calls and got the people in.
So
it's always a, you know, we all work together. We try to all work together.
Well, Lori, time flies when you're having fun. We just had the 1 minute mark, so I guess we're coming to an end. We have kind of celebrated our home care with you on National Home Care and Hospice Month. And if you have any questions, reach out to any of us at Osborne Home Care. We'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks and have a great week. We'll see you back next time.